From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast, where Rangers are proud. We're going to talk New York Rangers hockey, of course, the struggles, the Blue Struggles episode here on the episode, the website, bleedblueshow.com, audio archive episodes, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps, all the links, all the shows for all of our the things that we do. Check us out, the Bleed Blue Show. Great guys, great stakeholders, great guys and gals, stakeholders, the whole nine, man. Let's bring on Ranger Proud, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I couldn't wait to talk to RP on audio. It's been a while. RP, what's going on, sir? The blue shirts, man, we're struggling, man. As you already know, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Yeah, the team's in a struggle.
Oh,
no
man.
No doubt about it. They, you know, it's nothing's coming easy right now. And, I mean, at least they started to recognize a little bit more with the moves they made today. Nothing drastic, nothing crazy, but it's a start. So, got to see where it takes them when they play Arizona on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram, and also writer, lead writer for the Rangers on Elite Sports New York. So guys, check them out. Let's get to all the points you were talking about of all the moves. Let's go one by one, and then we can get to the game. So if you want to get to the moves that you've been reporting and writing about, let's start from everything right down the line.
The day started off with Rangers waving Adam Krocknow. He was the player they picked up from Dallas off waivers a couple of weeks ago. He really didn't fit in, really didn't have a spot with the team. So right there, you sort of knew something was going on. Excuse me. And then the Rangers announced that they sent down defenseman Anthony DeAngelo, who the Rangers acquired in the trade with Eric Stefan and Antti Raanta with the Arizona Coyotes in June. Not really a surprise to me. He never really seemed to grasp the system. He was supposed to be his main asset, I should say, was supposed to be on the power play, but he never really seemed to have a lot of his confidence. He created a lot of turnovers, which definitely put him in the doghouse with AV. The big conversation piece to Lotus was, is now that they have sent down DeAngelo, it kind of makes up the Rangers, I don't want to say lost on the trade, but Arizona, right for the time being, probably made out better on it. As you guys recall, Stefan Aronte went to Arizona for DeAngelo and a first-round draft pick from this year's draft, which turned out to be the seventh overall pick, which was Philip Hytel. Currently, DeAngelo and Hytel are both down in the minus. No, Leif Anderson was what they call the 21st pick, I believe.
Got.
Was Anderson picked first? I don't remember.
No, it was Anderson at 7 and Hedo at 21 in the first round.
Oh, okay, and Hedo 21, excuse me. So that's how that broke down. And so you really don't know how that trade, you know, looks now. It's very hard to determine trades, especially early like this. Hedo could come up and be, you know, a 30-goal scorer and really phenomenal. He's only 18 years old, so it's really hard to judge it. Of course, when the trade was made, DeAngelo was supposed to be a top six defenseman and, you know, this big power play guy and the future of the Rangers, which he very well may be. But defense in the New York Rangers is a real tough spot to get into. They have a lot of depth on the defense position, so you really don't know what will come of it. The last couple of games, he was the seventh defenseman on the bench, Steve. He was only playing mainly on power plays. He wasn't even playing even strength, so you sort of had a feeling something was going to happen, especially with coming off with that 2-5-2 start. The Rangers really can't afford to sit around anymore with 10 games gone. So they made that move. And then to end the day off, they recalled Christopher Bouniers. They're going to probably put him at center on the fourth line. He will practice tomorrow and play with the team on Thursday. I think the Rangers really need to address their lines in the center position before they go forward anywhere else. What they want to do with defense, if they want to do anything else, they're struggling in all aspects right now. So I guess you got to pick your spots where you want to start. And it's not a rebuild, but I think it's a reevaluation of what they had. After 10 games, as you said, Steve, you could see the struggles. They're giving up early goals. Their defense doesn't seem as strong as we all thought it was going to be. AV's been going with this 11 forward, 7 defensemen set up for the last two games, which is something you do when you're in a pinch. It's not supposed to be something you do all the time, and they needed to resolve that situation. So that's what I think Nieves' call-up was. Just to let you know, Heidel might have been called up, but he got injured Saturday night, I believe, barking a shot. The Rangers have been really quiet about it, and he wasn't available to be called. We don't know if he would have or not, but that took him right out of the picture. So those were the transactions today. Now we see what the next step is going to be.
Go one by one on the points. First, the Cracknell release, where when he first came onto the team and I saw the interviews, and it's everything we thought he would fit in with Lenny Ruff as far as him vouching for him, and I saw all the media guys get talk to him, and everybody said that all the captains, Ryan McDonough, and you know, all the players met up with him, shook his hand, and they thought it was going to be a right fit. So how did it's just a question with a question. I'm just asking out loud. Not necessarily you have to answer the question, but more so what happened to what the plan was for him just to literally within, what, a week, 2 weeks, if that he's gone already off the team and just didn't work out. And that's just a question out loud. And as far as like what you said about D'Angelo, how that's kind of like quickly not working out right now as far as defensively, because we already see what the issue is with, especially defensively, the defense is shaky as hell. But also, if you're going to end up on running the power play on the first power play unit or even the second, depending on who's in there, you have situations with him losing. He has a puck control issues a lot. And I think there's a system that AV and the guys want to run, and it doesn't look like it's running fluidly. It's like when the Rangers get on a power play, sometimes, you know, early on, if it's not getting to Mika Zibanejad at the left wing to punch it in, it's like it's really, really off base. And if D'Angelo has been really spotty when it comes to that, what is your opinion on Cracknell and as well as D'Angelo on this situation? I mean, you reported it, but how do you feel, RP, as far as these moves? And then we can get into the Stepan aspect as far as the trade, if you want to go that route.
The Cracknell, I got to be honest with you, I wasn't quite sure where they were going with that. They need centers, and they need goal scorers. They don't need another, I think they needed another third or fourth line left or right winger. They have enough of those. They tried to use Cracknell at center one time, and that didn't really pan out. If you remember, they also tried that with Paul Carey, and AV wasn't happy with that situation. So I was confused myself about the Cracknell. I mean, he was on waivers, and I'm sure Lindy Ruff was very supportive of drafting him. He used them, you know, when they were with Dallas and all. He just didn't fit into the team here. It just wasn't the right fit. And sometimes you don't realize that until you picked up a guy off waivers. And it might have been a little bit of a desperation move. It might have been the Rangers just were trying to get something, as you hear this word, chemistry all the time, some sort of chemistry on the team, you know, to form. So I don't quite know where I think they were going with that move. But it obviously didn't pan out. The D'Angelo move, it was unusual. The Rangers were his third team already in a young career that he's had. He's only played in 30, and he played 8 games with the Rangers, so 46, 47 games, not even that much ice time when he was with the Rangers. As an NHL player, he has he had a bad reputation of being a little rough around the edges and taking some bad penalties. He never really got to show himself here because he just kept turning the puck over and over. He wasn't that comfortable on the Rangers' blue line, and I think once they started using him as the seventh defenseman and once they started putting Nick Holden in the lineup over him and so forth, you weren't quite sure what they were going to do, but they couldn't carry 8 defensemen. They also are, for some apparent reason, afraid to send down Steven Kanzler right now, thinking that he may not clear waivers and the Rangers would lose him for nothing. D'Angelo had options. He could go down without clearing waivers, which probably played into another factor of why they made the move today.
Well, the whole other piece of the puzzle is when I was talking with you over the summer with this trade with – well, yeah, it was really after the trade with Stephon and Ranta. And our whole thing was about centers, finding centers to really piece this roster back together. Now, Stephon didn't have a good year last year, but you know that he was a guy that's somewhat reliable. He was a guy, even with his scoring struggles last year, you knew that he could play with the guys, his line mates on the top two lines for sure, whether Zuccarello or VC on the wing, whoever it happened to be. It just seems like something is missing with this team as far as a guy running, you could say, point with those guys. I didn't think it was going to be this bad because I said to you right before the season, I didn't know what to expect from the Rangers. It can either go really good or really bad because it was that big of a window or how wide of good or well or bad this team could be. And right now we're seeing the worst of it, the other opposite end of what I thought it could be if things went south real quick, even with the defenseman that we added. I mean, like you said, it's everything. It's not just one particular area. It seems like it's everything. You know, scoring and finishing checks and plays, lazy at certain games. You know, like certain games, you had the energy, but you kind of took your foot off the gas, and that's the Pittsburgh game. So other games, you go against another foe in the Islanders, as you already know, and they take you to the OT, and then you played well versus the Predators on Saturday, and very good effort by Kevin Hayes. But there was a big blunder versus the San Jose Sharks, man, on Monday. So all these all different types of style of teams and games that we played against four different type of opponents, man. How if you had to put a summary level on it and then just try to tie that back into what we were talking about with the trade with Stephon, like how do you look at this as now that you're seeing this play out?
Well, I don't think many people, fans mainly, I don't know about the organization, realize how much it hurt to lose two starting centers from your lineup from last year. Now you lost Lindbergh, and as much as Stephon struggled last season, he still had 55 points, and he still was a reliable center. They really didn't replace either of them. I just don't think David Desjardins is a compatible replacement to Lindbergh or to Stephon. And other people have different opinions about that. That's just mine. Desjardins is a good skater. He's a hustler. He wins his draws, but he doesn't get the scoring opportunities that a Derek Stephon got. And I don't think he's as reliable as AV could rely on, compared to an Oscar Lindbergh. And I think that had a lot to do with it. And we spoke about that from the time the trade was made. You know, at that time, well, it bolstered a better defense setup. So now you had Anthony DeAngelo, you had a really good, solid top six defenseman. Nick Holden was probably going to be the seventh man. But on the offensive side, they never really recuperated from that deal. They really didn't add to the offensive production that they need to be successful. And they're feeling that now. On top of that, you look at all these games, the Rangers have played 10 games. In five of those games, they've given up the first goal within 2 minutes and 40 seconds. And they've lost all five of those games. So they don't seem to be prepared. Lundqvist has not looked good. They're not scoring a lot of goals going on. They're making a ton of defensive mistakes. You can't put your finger on one thing and say, well, it's they don't have a good center on the team. That's just one problem. The defense isn't playing as a cohesive unit. The offense aren't scoring any goals in a timely fashion or consistently. And there's something off with Henrik Lundqvist, and people can just say it's old age, it's the window's closing, but whatever you want. If you look at the first goal against San Jose the other night, a sharp angle shot through the five hole, it's just so anti-Henrik Lundqvist. It's just too many times where you say he should have had that one. And I know that's easy to say because we're not on the ice, but from what we've seen over the last 11, 12 years to the way he's playing now, there's a drop in play right now. Not to say that he can't pick it up. When you put all these things together, this is the record that you have, and the Rangers are starting to reel. The things they did today, the transactions they did today, are not going to help the team offensively. So people need to understand the Rangers made some moves trying to address the center situation. Let's get JT Miller on the wing and start putting him back to center. This way he can focus on scoring goals and being productive offensively. But, you know, bringing up Buniev isn't going to help Michael Grabner score. It's not going to help Rick Nash score. It's not going to help Zuccarello get on the scoreboard. It's not going to wake up Chris Kreider. And it's not going to help Lundqvist stop these shots that he should be stopping. So they're a long way from being a contender right now, I can tell you that.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, what the thing is, when I see this team, is the energy. It's really about energy. The Pittsburgh game was the best energy of the week that I saw. The other games, even the Nashville game, there was times where they could have put some more goals on the board. They could have really blew it open. They kind of let the Predators back in. Defensively, where I see them used to work the boards or work the corners, whether it's the forecheck, they haven't got clean puck possessions along the boards, where they have over the years have really dominated against teams. This team, it seems like it's taking a step back as far as loose pucks, passing, careless turnovers. Like you said, we said it earlier with D'Angelo and other guys as well. It's not just him. It's just a whole collective of a combination of stuff. But even to your point with Lundqvist, we saw some of this last year, and he kind of got bailed out, and that was the thing we were saying with the backup goalie. It was kind of a blessing to have a solid backup the last couple of years. In the midst of, let's say, Hunt Lundqvist is giving up bad goals, you could go through a few stretch where the backup goalie, whoever it may be, it could be Ranta or Talbot the year before that or a couple years before that, where you were able to plug in a backup goalie and let Lundqvist get rest and clear his head. Where in this situation, I don't know if there is that option is viable if you want to go to Pavlik, knowing that he's behind Lundqvist, and you got to, like, it's like they're trying to play through it, you know? And that's not even including the defenseman situation stuff we discuss all the time with Shattenkirk's defense. It's like, I don't know. I see it with the Rangers fans on reading their opinions. And at some point, Shattenkirk has to buy into the system as far as play exactly how they want to play. I know his game is more offensively, and he's been a little bit physical here and there, but even throughout the start of this regular season, we've seen him get muscled around in front of the net, and that shouldn't happen with a guy of his stature as well. He's a pretty strong guy. He should be able to take it. But overall, man, these guys, the San Jose game, God, that was terrible, man. What about in that game? You know, like, what did you see coming out against the Sharks that really surprised you from the Rangers that you were really disappointed? I mean, we saw the Islander game. I mean, there's no good loss, but the Shark game, by far to me, was the worst game of the week, the last 7 days.
They just, the worst, not the worst, the power play, which was doing fairly well, all of a sudden goes 0-6 when you really needed it the most. I mean, at one point, you know, they were down 1-0 or 2-0, and, you know, the power play will give you momentum or could tie up the game, and all of a sudden, the power play is not working. And even prior to that, you know, they gave up another early goal. Yeah, it was on a delayed penalty, but still, it was a minute and 57 seconds in. Once again, like you say, Steve, you barely sat down to watch the game, bang, you down 1-0. You cannot play every game from behind that early. It just doesn't work, especially with the Rangers, because they're not scoring goals. Well, once the Rangers get into a 2-0 hole, aside from 2 or 3 out of the 10 games, the Rangers are in a lot of trouble. Their turnovers on defense are just inexcusable. They just, too many of them are on the San Jose Sharks' third goal. Shattenkirk just dumped the puck to nowhere, and the Shark picked it up and skated in and scored. He's got 3 other forwards and a defenseman heading towards the Sharks nest, put the puck forward, put the puck deep. These power passes and draw passes and giveaways, they hurt. They haunt you. And, you know, yes, Lundqvist let that goal in because of the Shattenkirk giveaway to save either. And, you know what I'm saying? It snowballs. It's a lot of finger pointing in it. The whole game surprised me. They have not played a complete 60-minute hockey game, even in their 2 wins. And remember, in the Montreal win, Montreal scored like 2 minutes into the game, and it was reviewed. I believe that was the only one that was offsides. And then they scored, and it was reviewed, and it was goalie interference. So the Rangers could have been down 2-0 in the middle of the first period of that game. So they haven't played a full 60-minute hockey game. And as much as I am an AV supporter and I really like him, it's his job to get the coaching staff and the 22 guys, the 23 guys out there ready for every start of every game, and that hasn't happened enough. So, you know something, if you're going to really start looking to why, you've got to start with the guy that's running the show. And that's just how I'm looking at it. And trust me, people are calling for AV's head and all of that and fire him, and people are discussing who should be hired and this and that. He is the number one man responsible for everything that's going on. A lot of it is not his fault. I am sure he's doing everything he can to get that team prepared. They just don't come out prepared. You know, all these home games are being wasted, and I don't, you know, there's no real reason why. I mean, they're all professionals. So does today's move shake them up? I don't know.
How much would you include Gordon on that conversation? How much would you include Gordon, the general manager?
Gordon, you have to blame too. AV has to deal with the hand that he's dealt. Gordon's the one that's dealing. So I blame Gordon just as much. He knew from the moment he traded Stefan, and he knew that – I'm sure he knew Lindberg was going to be the guy that was going to get picked up in the expansion draft. You know, GMs talk and hear rumors and this and that. And he had a day to think about this trade with Stefan. The only reason why Stefan got traded was because of his salary. But with that, I don't think anyone really realized how much losing two centers in 2 days would affect the team, especially that Stefan was struggling and so forth. But, you know, you can't replace a lot of the things that he does other than the scoreboard. I mean, look, if you look at him right now at Arizona, he's averaging over 20 minutes a game on the ice. So he's playing a lot of games. I think he has 2 goals and 4 assists or 2 goals and 5 assists, something in that neighborhood. Not dramatic, but he's involved in every play. He's almost at 50% on his faceoffs. So everyone was saying maybe last year was a slump, and you never know. You don't want to play the Monday morning quarterback thing. But the GM needed a plan. Okay, I'm losing Lindbergh. I'm losing Stefan. What am I going to do? They were so focused on getting Shattenkirk that once that deal was made, they didn't really make an offer for any other center. And we had discussed that. You know, there was Bonino. There was Patrick Marleau. These guys just wanted too much money than the regions were willing to shell out. But with that, they started putting all their eggs in one basket with Leah Sanderson and Phil Pytel, and that didn't work out. And this is here where we are now. You're with, you know, 4 offensive lines without a really pure goal scorer. You're struggling with centers. You're flip-flopping lines every night. And then you complain about chemistry. So I think Gordon and AV are, you know, both responsible for what's going on. And then, of course, the players are responsible because they're not producing. They're not executing. You don't expect them to win every game, but I expect them to be playing much better, at least on the defensive side of the ice. And that seems to be a big struggle too. Now, there's one thing here that we haven't mentioned with the D'Angelo move tonight. It means Nick Holden's a top 6 defenseman again.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, when the season started, it was almost unheard of. They were going to trade him. They weren't going to use him. AV was set with his men. And now all of a sudden, the two guys everyone said should be bought out in garbage, haven't played well. Mark Stahl and Nick Holden are right back into the fire again. I think Stahl's played great this year games, and people say I'm crazy, but what's he done bad?
Why would they say that?
It's because a lot of people are hooked on, for whatever reason, everyone didn't just want Girardi bought out. They all thought the Rangers should have bought out Mark Stahl too. And I never really understood that. I mean, Girardi was a good defenseman, too. He had to buy someone up to free up salary, and they started to buy out Girardi. And that's all good and fine. He's doing fine over in Tampa Bay, trust me. But I don't understand this dislike of Mark Stahl. I think he's the most solid defenseman they have on the team. He's not a goal scorer. He's not a point producer. He gets the puck out of the zone. He takes the body, and he's a good passer. Yeah, absolutely physical. But he plays a solid game, nothing flashy. So I don't understand that, but I really think that AV needs to set up his six defensemen and leave them alone for a couple of games, good or bad. You know, Ryan McDonough's had four different partners already.
I thought about that over the weekend about as much as the fans got on Dan Girardi for the last several seasons and how his game disappeared.
You knew where him
and McDonough always had some sort of a chemistry where even Girardi had his struggles. I mean, you could always count on McDonough because he knew where spots to be at where Girardi wasn't and vice versa. It's like Girardi kind of took the brunt of the risk, but it always kind of worked out for that pairing for several years. And sometimes you don't know where you got to. I know Girardi was up there in age. I get that. But what is he, about 32 or something like that? But like you said, McDonough's went through more pairings and defensemen in 6-7 games than probably he has probably 4 years. I mean, every night, you know, it's just something new. And I was thinking about that over the week. Like, damn, that's crazy how that kind of works out like that.
Sure, and you know, it's Girardi's on here, so that's something that McDonough has to get used to. So now everyone is getting used to having his regular partner around. So now every day, you D'Angelo, you had Shattenkirk. He put Holden on with them. He had Stahl with them a couple of times. He needs to set up his defensemen and leave them alone a little bit. They can't keep preaching chemistry, but you're the one breaking up the chemistry every night. And I know he's trying to find the group of lines or the line mates to get something going offensively, but you have to give it more than a game. I mean, you're not winning games now. So make up your lines that you think are going to succeed and try not to tinker with them so much for a couple of games and see if it works. I mean, he's changed up the lines. I think it's been 3 or 4 times in 10 games. He's changed up the defensive pairings more than that. He's just, I don't think he's giving things up because I think he's, number one, he's trying to find the right combination. And number two, I'm sure in the back of his mind he's going, I'm in New York City. I can't be going 2-5-2 to start. You know, what am I going to do? So it's a lot going on with them. You just hope that they could just start, you know, doing shift by shift, like we used to say. Don't look at it as a whole game. Go on the ice against Arizona. Let's try to get through the first 5 minutes without them dominating and scoring against us, and then, you know, let's take it from there. The Rangers have a lot of work to do. You know, none of us saw this coming. I got news for you. We were saying it'd be funny, you know, on paper they look really good, but until you see them on the ice, you just never know.
Correct.
And this is the scenario you and I were talking about. They, as a team, they're not very good. I don't know. I'm sure they can correct it and start winning. I don't know how competitive they can be, even if they make the playoffs. They are missing.
That's a long time for now.
If Lundqvist doesn't find his game, it doesn't matter who you put on the ice in front of him.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You can't have every game where you say, damn, you should have had that one. You can't do that. It's the games are too tight. You know, it's a 2-0 game, and damn, you should have had that one. And now it's 3-0, and your team doesn't score 3 goals in a game. It's pretty much a done deal. So he needs to get a little bit tighter in net so that the offense could try to find a way to score more than 3 goals in a game. Until it all comes together, this is where you're at now. They're really hurting in every area at one point or another. You know, when is Michael Grabner going to score on a breakaway? And I'm not picking on him. The man is so fast out there. You see him, Steve. An incredible penalty killer. Cannot score on a breakaway this year. As a matter of fact, it got so bad that in the Penguins shootout, put in David DeJarnay to take a penalty, a shootout opportunity.
Islander shootout?
Over Nash and Grabner. What does that tell you?
Mm.
Even the coaches are recognizing these guys can't score on a breakaway. I never saw a team go so much and never try to deke a goalie out. They always try to take a shot from 10 feet out. You know, the teams get scouted. They know what their tendencies are. The Rangers have to start mixing it up a little bit. You got to start relaxing, too. They're squeezing the sticks a lot.
Well, they definitely do. I definitely understand. Now, what about the situation in the power play that had its struggles versus the Sharks? Because you saw a lot of D'Angelo and McDonough with Kreider, and I think JT Miller and D'Arnay on a unit, and then you had like Shattenkirk split up from Ryan McDonough, Buznevich and Zibanejad, Zuccarello and Nash. I never thought that unit with Ryan McDonough and D'Angelo, because it takes away from Ryan McDonough's strength is to really create. If you have going to have D'Angelo right. all to create, and you're just going to have like McDonough just sitting there with a stopwatch, just looking at the time. Like, now if you fix that, if you put a guy that's going to let him do his thing. I mean, that was the whole point of splitting them up. I mean, the theory when we had it at the time was either Shattenkirk and McDonough, which could work, but then again, it could be beneficial if you split them up. But if you split them up, why would you have another guy who's going to do all the playmaking, and then if he's not going to playmate, don't turn over the puck. Now, with the 0-for-6, I'm not going to, you know, the power play has been, it's been up and down this season. You had some hot streaks, you had some cold streaks, so... Maybe you have a situation where you go back to the next game, what happens to be this week. Like you said, it gets better if you put the right guy with McDonough. You put the right guy to set up Zibanejad. What works? You go with what works. You have Zuccarello right. on the right wing. You have Zibanejad firing away, and hopefully the goalie does not get to it. And that's pretty much what the Rangers game is. Side to side, let Zibanejad fire away. Now, if you're not going to do that, you have Shattenkirk at the point, and you have to get the screener up top. So this thing is not broke. It's definitely fixable. It's just about execution.
It's not broke.
It's about execution.
I agree. It was just a bad night to go 0-for-6.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah,
sometimes when you really need the power play the most is when it fails them the most. You know, 0-for-6, even Dave Maloney said on the radio, 12 minutes of power play time, you get no goals out of it. A lot of times, if you're up a man, they had more short-handed opportunities. It's, you know, when it rains, it pours. I think after that game, when Gorton and AV and Lenny Ruff all sat down and said something needs to be done to shake up the team, for the time being, this is the best shakeup they could do. Remember, if the Rangers are even considering a trade, if they're considering a trade, you're going to wind up losing a top six forward. No one is going to take – you're not going to trade Nick Holden and get a 25-goal scorer. It's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to package in a deal. And I think it's going to would have to come from the top two lines, someone from the top two lines. And there aren't a lot of options there either. So I think what they did today is a start. Now they'll go into the game, see how they play against San Jose, see if they can just get together, see if they can just play a whole complete hockey game, regardless of the result. The Rangers haven't played a full 60 minutes, and it, you know, the record indicates that it shows. So I don't know if that doesn't work. I mean, do you fire the coach? Do you make a trade? Do you do both? Right now, you know, this is the Rangers saying we know there's a problem, and based on waivers and everything and availability and options, this is why D'Angelo got sent down. Cracknow couldn't, you know, had to go on waivers. We'll see tomorrow morning if he gets picked up by anybody or not, or he'll be sent down, and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, we definitely will see. Like, we go back to last week's episode when we talked about after the Penguins game, the difference between a guy who could go to the last moment and get to a last minute goal versus what we have in Chris Kreider. He finally got his goal over the weekend versus the Predators, but the guy. The shots on goal, the time on the ice is dwindled, been up and down this year. He's a guy that I like him as a player and don't have the faith in him. That's the guy I thought it was him and Kevin Hayes. Those are the two guys I thought the Rangers really thought their games would elevate once why they made the moves. They moved, you know, with the Arizona trade and also with the expansion with Vegas. It's crazy how that is because I don't think it's working out as of allowing those guys to come out of their comfort zone. I don't think Kreider and Hayes are those type of guys are going to come out of their comfort zone, especially offensively. We already know Hayes wants to improve defensively. He's been on record and all over the media about wanting to be a better defenseman. But those two guys, they're not going to pick up the scoring that we already lost. That's kind of like you're in the hole right there. And it already shows this season.
Well,
the trend doesn't last.
Well,
you
Hayes,
know?
You know, there's a – Hayes is how do I say this? Hayes is getting screwed. AV doesn't just have him centering. He wants him really focusing on the defensive side of the puck. And it's taking away from his scoring. He is starting to come out of it. I think he had a goal or two last week. I think he has 3 or 4 on the season. You can see his confidence getting up there. His skating seems to be much better. He's engaging in a lot more play. But I think AV's style is pulling him back. It's holding him back. And somewhere along the line, the coach is going to have to go, you know, we're giving up a lot of goals anyway. Let's get a little bit more offensive. I don't understand this whole defensive structure all around. And when I say that is, he doesn't really send the centers in deep. He wants them concentrating more when the other team comes out, and that takes away from your offense. It takes away from his personal scoring, but overall it takes away from his offense and so forth. So I think, you know, for Hayes, he's battling a lot. I think he's doing well. Kreider is the same thing you and I have discussed. He's very, very inconsistent. One game he'll be all over the place, and then he'll go 3 games when you don't even hear about him. And you want to know, it's just at this point, it's not working out. And I'm trying not to be hard on him. We need him. We need him to execute. But he's just not, for whatever reason, it's just not happening. He was on a good line, wasn't he, with Zibanejad and was it Zuccarello? Or I forgot who he started the season off with. Then he slowly went, you know, back into his old ways. You know, and another thing that AV's doing, this turned out to be a pick on AV show, but he has it coming, I guess, is I don't understand how he's constantly keeping Buchnevich on the fourth line. He could struggle, and I understand he's got too much potential. You have to be telling him, go out there and take shots. Go out there, you know, try not to make any mistakes. Remember your defensive coverages when you're an hour end, but when you're on offense, kick and skate, kick and shoot. Same thing with Jimmy Vesey. How did he not put him back with Nash all season? And I know this is all that Monday morning quarterbacking stuff I was saying about earlier in this podcast, but some things that worked last year, he hasn't gone to this year. And I don't know what he's looking for, what he's trying to do. Sometimes you just got to keep it simple.
I think I know what
you know. Hayes and Miller works.
Well, I think I know what his rationale is. What I saw him being public, they're taking it game by game. They're making adjustments based on the personnel they're facing that night. So if they go up against Pittsburgh, you know, you go against Malkin's line or go against Hornquist's line and Crosby lines, they're going to throw a certain type of personnel they feel that matches up against that team. And if you go up against the Islanders and their squad, you know, Anders Lee and those guys, they're going to throw a certain type of personnel and going to play a certain type of tempo or speed against those guys. I mean, that's what he's been saying, you know, in the papers and in public, on the media as well. So that's where, as you already know, that's where all the shuffling comes in. It's just not working out. So that goes back on the coach, like you said. It goes back on the coach versus go against what you do best and what was working last year. It's not like – to me, it doesn't seem like the teams have adjusted to the Rangers where the Rangers are – it seems like they're psyching themselves out. If that is AV's rationale and you're trying to adjust to them, why not adjust to you? That's what teams were trying to do to you the last 2-3 years. They had to come up against you. They had to get an extra 4 to score as many goals as you can, leave that extra defenseman out. Why would you want to do – why would you be backwards in that mindset? It doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, you could be right, because I was just thinking, you know that Kevin Hayes plays well with JT Miller, and you know that Nash plays well with VC, and, you know, Pryder plays well with Zibanejad. So why not do everything you can to keep those guys together and see what comes of it? It can't be any worse than what's been happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, you know, this year, I mean, remember, Steve, last year, they had a real, real hot start to the season scoring-wise. They remember they had, like, at one point a plus 38 differential, goals for and goals against.
Mm-hmm.
And now they couldn't hit the ocean off a pier right now. I mean, that's how bad their scoring is right now. So I think he's constantly screwing around with the lines, which sometimes you just got to let them gel, let them find each other, see what happens. And he's a little impatient, too. And that all goes with, you know, with everything. It's a team effort to lose the way they are. There's no one that isn't accountable for their actions, from the goaltender to the coaches to the defensemen to the forwards. Everybody's involved in this. You know, you can't really pinpoint and look and go, well, he's playing all right, so it's all right. I mean, Zibanejad is leading the team in scoring, and he did have the hot hand on the power play. But the last four games, he only has one goal. He hasn't scored a power play goal, so he's cooled off a little bit. You could go down the line. Nash isn't scoring. How many times are you going to see Nash get an opportunity? And it's not from a lack of effort. Don't misunderstand me. Rick Nash is playing really good hockey. He's driving to the net. He takes the body. He's getting his shots on goal. He just is snake-bitten. He just can't finish. The puck just won't go in the net for him. It's the same thing for Grabner. If Grabner and Nash were scoring at a clip that they were last year, the Rangers have at least two or three more wins this season, and it's a different conversation. Just if them two were clicking. And not for anything, Zuccarello's not scoring, and he's not getting the assists because the rest of the guys aren't scoring. So when you look at this overall picture of the New York Rangers team right now, the entire team's slumping at one exact moment. These have to be maybe the worst 10 games of hockey I've seen. You know, they did have two wins, but the Nashville win was a good win. It wasn't against Pekka Rinne, though. It wasn't their better goaltender. And Nashville just didn't look sharp that night either. You would have hoped the Rangers could have built up some momentum from that, but, you know, 2 minutes into the San Jose game, you're losing, and here we go again. So I don't know what they're going to do to correct it. I personally think that they're just going to have to take it, unfortunately, game by game again, and see what happens. And hopefully they can find a way to dig themselves out of this hole they're in. Because if not, there's only a couple of moves left, Steve. You're either going to make a top, you know, a big trade, which normally isn't done this early in the season, because other teams aren't really willing to give up someone because they don't want to concede that they're struggling. Alain Vigneault is not going to be the head coach come Thanksgiving, if it even goes 4 more weeks. There's not that much more that the Rangers could tolerate and accept before they make a change. 10 games of the season is gone. Now you're down to only 72 games left in the season, which sounds like a lot, but the Rangers look like they're in preseason mode. And some of these other teams, they're ready. They're going.
You think AV doesn't even have a pass to get through a rough stretch the first time in his tenure as a head coach as the Rangers, for the Rangers? You think they'll be ready to get rid of him that quick, you think? I don't see that. I want to hear your opinion on that. I don't know.
But see, the flip side to that is they haven't won anything. Granted, they've won 6 playoff series in 4 years, and I know that's excellent and that's good, but they don't have a lot to show for it. And that goes down to Lundqvist, too, for that matter. They haven't. I don't know. You know, I always refer back to the Yankees, and I'm not a Yankee fan, you know that. But the Yankees had the core four. But the core four won. You know what I mean, Steve? They won championships. So you can say we're going to give them a pass because these guys know how to do it. The Rangers have been to one Stanley Cup final with all the guys that are on this team. I don't know how much more leeway you give AV. You know, if they go 2-5-10 again, 2-5-2 again, excuse me, in the next 10 games, that's only 4 wins in 20 games.
Mm.
I mean, that's how I'm looking at it. What is, if they go 500 in the next 10 games, you know, if they go 5-5, well, that puts them with 7, still only puts them with 7 wins and another 12 losses. It doesn't, I don't know where, you have to stop the bleeding. You got to stop the bleeding because these other teams are going to keep firing away, brother. They're going to keep going. I'm telling you, it's a weird thing. The Islanders are starting to click now. They're starting to win. The Devils are on fire.
I mean, and I was going to say,
in our own division, forget about the conference.
I think it's a very polarizing sport because I was going to say that you brought that up with the Islanders and the Devils. Look at where the Devils were last year and look what they are this year. Hell, look at what the Canadians were in their first 20 games last year. You could have get them off the ice, man. These guys were a scoring machine. Remember, they were like 13-1-1 to start the year.
They're in the
last place in the whole conference. They're in the last place in the conference.
And we're just standing above them.
They're standing above them.
We're right there. So you want to know something? I mean, now the scary part is now Tavares today for the Islanders got a hat trick, and all of a sudden that scoring machine's going to start. Let me tell you something. You know, if Tavares starts to get hot, all of a sudden you're going to see a totally different outlook. I mean, the Canadians are 2-6. The Rangers are 2-6. 2-6-2. It's, you know something? It's a tough thing. They are really going to have to start focusing on getting some wins. I don't know. If you think about it, if you go 5-5 in the next game, in the next 10 games, that gives you 7 wins and 11 losses. It's still a horrible record. And now
you're looking at the record
into the season.
You're looking at the record, and I feel you on that. But let's look at the points. The points was really matters. They're as bad as this thing is. They're only 4 points out of the wild card behind Philly. They ain't even played Philly yet. You still got a gang of division games left. I'm not ready to jump off the ledge. I'm sure you're not ready to jump off the ledge. I just think we're both frustrated with the terrible hockey. But as bad as this thing has been, you're still only technically 2 games out of the of a wild card position. Now, if you're talking division on that, that's a higher mountain to climb. But if you're talking about getting into the playoff picture, you're still in it. I mean, as bad as that sounds, I know.
I look at it the other way. You said the magic word. We're 10 games into the season, and you're talking wild card. That's not where the team was supposed to be going or coming from. Now you're back into no home games, no home ice advantage. And if you're a wild card team, it means you're struggling the entire way just to make it to the playoffs. Is that what this team is right now? That's where the problems lie. So I think as much as you're saying, hey, you know, it's still early. It's still early to win the Stanley Cup. And I'm telling you, you're slowly watching the playoffs just based on the way the team is now. If they're struggling now, and this is not, I don't want to say it's the easier part of the season, but it's normally the less stressful part of the season. You know, the playoff hunt doesn't start until January and a big push. The Rangers are battling themselves now. They need to correct it. And I'm not saying that AV should get fired, but let me ask you this. If the Rangers go the next 10 games and they go 2-8, 3-7, what's the next move?
Well, then we have a play on our hands.
But see, you got to have a plan now. You can't just say, well, we went 3-7, it's all fire, AV. Who are you bringing in? Of course, everybody's saying Lindy Ruff, but that's not going to help you. He's on the bench as much as the problem is Alain Vigneault and Benoit Allaire and Scott O'Neill and all these guys. You know, to me, it doesn't matter who you are. You're on the coaching staff. You're all contributing to the situation as much as the player is.
I agree with
you. You know, already today it started. Oh, well, if the Rangers fired AV, it'd probably go to Lindy Ruff. Would that help? They're not listening to the voices now. They're not hearing what the coaches are saying now. I don't know if that would change it or not. So you need, you know, Gordon's got to be looking down the road a little bit. You can't just wait for the problem to come up to you is what I'm saying.
That's where it all goes back to. A lot of it goes back to Gordon, right. Because it's everything we've been saying for months in the summer. Because if this thing don't work out, because you really didn't address your lines. And AV, as much as we could, it's on AV just as much as the general manager, because you can't go to these games in deficient in certain areas of lines and competitively compete in 60-minute games. It's hand-in-hand with those guys, both of those guys. So it's not like AV in prior years where it was he just stunk up the joint. You gave him a personnel to work with. He delivered. It wasn't a Stanley Cup, but he got you. You knew you were getting into the playoffs. And I hate to say that, and I don't know, man. I'm not trying to sound like a Debbie Downer, but with the Rangers, the playoffs is a start to get to. You have to get to the playoffs to get to the Stanley Cup. We all know that. So he's done that part. It's not like he's not been making the playoffs in a competitive division too, a very competitive division the last several years.
I don't think you have to. I don't think if the Rangers got rid of Landon Young, if they did, it doesn't mean he's a bad coach. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It just means that it just didn't, you know, work here. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. I mean, AV got Vancouver to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they blew a 3-1 lead and lost it to the Bruins. He got the Rangers to the Stanley Cup Final, and they lost them in 5 games to the Kings. He can get you there. The problem is you know, it's two things. It's the hand that he's dealt right now isn't the greatest, regardless of what people think or say. They have a good hockey team. They don't have a great hockey team. They have goal scorers. They don't have that top guy that you can go to. We all know that. But their style of scoring that worked so well last year is not happening this year. So all of a sudden, instead of scoring four or five goals a game, you're scoring 2 or 3 goals a game. And now
it's
you're
like
giving
what
up 4 or 5 goals a game. It just,
it's like
it's
what you
not,
said.
It,
when
it's
the score committee
so what do, what do you do? You know, they brought up...
No, I'm just kidding.
Chris, they brought up Nieves today to play in the fourth line with, I'm assuming... Well, we don't know right now. It used to be Grabber and Fast, but sometimes it's Grabber and Buchanan, or sometimes it's VC and Fast. It all depends what he wants to do with it. But Nieves isn't a goal scorer at all. So if this guy doesn't come up and win 50% of his faceoffs, he's not going to see that much ice time. I mean, he didn't make the team out of camp. They thought Heidel was better than Nieves, so they sent him down, and now they're bringing him up because they're still struggling. I'm not knocking the player, but I don't know how much they should... It's not the blockbuster deal that they thought they were going to do. I mean, I would have thought they would have brought up with Terrier because he was scoring. He was scoring before he got sent down. He was scoring with Hartford. He's that feisty, hard skating, that's a good shot kind of guy. But for whatever reason, they went this way, which is fine if it works. But what do we think we're getting with bringing him up? Now you have 4 centers on the team. You're still not that strong down the middle. Ivanajad Hayes, Dejane and the Eves. It's not, wow. It's all right. It should be good enough to get us by. You know what I mean? People think, well, they made these moves today. Oh, look how much better. They're not bringing up another defenseman because they still have 7 up. Until they decide what they're going to do with Camphor, they can't bring a Neil Point up who looked really good in the preseason and maybe would give the team a little bit of a spark because they have nowhere to put him. So there's still a lot of answers or questions that need to be answered. Right now, the Rangers, you know, they made their moves today. You got Arizona and then Montreal on Saturday night. The Rangers announced that Pavlik is starting against Arizona on Thursday night, which really shouldn't be a surprise because everyone knows that Lundqvist wanted to play in Montreal. So I thought Pavlik was going to play against Arizona regardless of what happened in the San Jose game. You got to give the guy another start somewhere. He started 1 game. I mean, the Rangers played 10 already. They only have 3 games left in a month. Pavlik started 1 game. You have to get them in a little bit.
Correct. I mean, these teams that they played this year, let's look at everybody that they played. A lot of these teams have been very competitive this year up until this point. Not to give that and make that an excuse for the Rangers play. Colorado's played well. Pittsburgh is, of course, Pittsburgh. St. Louis is running things in the West right now. Nashville is a very good team. And like you said, they had the backup goalie. But, hey, you play who you play. Islanders and the
That's
Devils.
Right.
I mean, all these teams are actually doing pretty damn good. And I'm not making excuses for this, but hey,
no,
it's not like the Rangers have played any cupcakes, is what I'm saying.
I don't think there are many cupcakes in the NHL. You mean, we talked about that. I mean, the expansion Knights are 6-1. I mean,
who's
the real weak? who's the real weak team in the NHL right now? I
How
mean,
about
there
that,
are
the
some, you know, Montreal. You got the teams that are on the bottom. You figure are going to turn it around. The Rangers, Montreal, San Jose started to turn it around. They were slumping a little bit, but like we talked about, I think we talked about this last week. There's no one. There are no easy games. None. The NHL is, of all the 4 major sports, is very equal. There are good teams every night. You know, Toronto's
polarizing.
Edmonton's good. You know, even like you said, even Colorado's playing really well. You know, Anaheim's playing good in the West. There aren't any lousy hockey teams. You know, there's no gimme games. So the Rangers need an A game every night, and they haven't had one yet. Even with
they haven't had
they haven't had
they haven't
had
an A game.
Nah.
That is true. They haven't had an A game. And also, everybody was ready to give the next 3 Stanley Cups to the Edmonton Oilers, and they're struggling. I mean, this thing is crazy.
Toronto was struggling too defensively. You know, these teams score 5 and 6 goals a game, but they're giving up 7 and 8. So, but, you know, it's funny thing you mentioned that, Steve. We were talking, Toronto's been looking for a defenseman for the longest time. They need another defense on that team, and that's why originally there was a rumor with the Rangers get the center Tyler Bozak from Toronto, and maybe they trade Throwin Holden and someone else, and that deal never, you know, came through. Colorado still says that Duchesne is still unhappy over in Colorado, but no one's willing to make a deal right now. You know, Larry Brooks had a good article in the Post the other day, and it was talking about big trades. And other than when the Islanders traded Matt Molson a couple of years ago, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, there's never really a big, big trade before January. Nobody wants to concede their season shot. So I wouldn't anticipate a real big – if the Rangers make a real big trade now, they're really worried or they're really unhappy with the way things are going. But if you look at the Ranger team, what would be a big trade? Would trading Chris Kreider be a big trade? To the fans, it might be because a lot of them like him. But from a production standpoint, you need to give up more than Kreider because he's not scoring anyway. Rick Nash is making too much money to trade right now. You know, you trade him in October, you still got to pay him $7 million. No one's going to want Rick Nash until the trade deadline as a rental. There's no easy fix, and there hasn't been an easy fix. This might be the team that they're stuck with, and they're going to have to find a way to start turning the red light on like they did last year.
You're right about that. RP, about to wrap it up, any final thoughts and tell everybody all the articles, all the stuff you've been publishing for Elite Sports New York and everything that you got coming up down the pipe, maybe a little sneak preview to your articles with Ranger Proud.
You got me on Facebook at Ranger Proud as always, and at Twitter at Ranger Proud, Instagram is Ranger.Proud. I write for Elite Sports New York with the Rangers team. I have a bunch of great writers underneath me. We're all writing whatever we can, whatever comes out. As you guys know, today was a busy day with all the moves they made. Got to be honest with you, there's no sneak peeks coming out. As I see things happening on the ice and other reports I read, I try to throw something constructive out there that I think is a little different. Sometimes I write a little bit too much from my heart, but that's just how the Ranger fan comes out in me. But, you know, you guys just keep following, keep commenting, keep sharing, share those articles. Share Ranger Proud because I'm trying to that's my first love. That's going to keep going on and on. All the news, everything I find, I put on one page. So I hope everyone's enjoying that. And, you know, just keep the faith with the Rangers. And just as much as we complain, you and I discuss all their problems and all, still a Ranger fan every night, still going to bleed blue like you say.
Yep.
You know, we're Ranger Proud all the way. So these are just, it's not so much ripping the team apart. It's kind of what you fans recognize is going on. Or maybe we don't know what's going on. I haven't really figured that part out yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're wondering, what's going on there? But it's just, you know, our opinions and our views on how the Rangers could try to get a little better or a little bit more consistent. Because at the end of the day, every Ranger fan has that same goal. We just want to get that W and, you know, put 2, 3, 4, 5 of them together and get out of this slump and start talking about winning hockey games as opposed to what to do to win hockey games.
Right, right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Ranger Proud. Myself, Steve, the podcast with Ranger Proud here on the Blue Blue Show. Every Tuesday, whether a post game, the Rangers or not, we're going to discuss it week to week, all season long, all year round. Audio episodes to hear us, Ranger Proud, myself, on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher apps. Download, go to the Play Store on Android, go to the Apple App Store on iTunes as well. So download, take us on the go and listen to us. We'll be back next week to get some more perspective on this thing. I'm actually optimistic for whatever reason. I can't pinpoint why. I think these guys will turn around RP. I really do. I don't know how. I don't know why. It's just too sloppy to not correct. These guys got too much veteranship on that squad to not turn around. So I think these guys will figure it out, but they got to do it quick because you can't be digging yourself a hole, man. So RP, other than that, we're out of time. Sangre azul,
please. You have a good one.
You too, my man. Peace.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.